भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ न श्रुदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 1 Today we're on text number 13. Please repeat.
Tannah shushrushamananam arhasi anga anuvarnitam yasya avatara bhutanam क्षेमाय च भवाय च तन्नः शुश्रूषमानानाम् अर्हस्यङ्गाणुवर्णितम् यस्यावतारो भूतानाम् क्षेमाय च भवाय च तन्नः शुश्रूषमानानाम् अर्हस्यङ्गानुवर्णितुम् यस्यावतारो भूतानाम् क्षेमाय च भवाय च तन्नः शुश्रूषमाणानाम् अर्हस्यङ्गानुवर्णितुम् यस्यावतारो भूतानाम् क्षेमाय च भवाय च शुश्रूषमाणानाम्
tat, those, naha, unto us, shushrushamananam, those who are endeavoring for, arahasi, ought to do it, anga, O Sutta Goswami, anuvarnitum, to explain by following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. Yasya, whose, avataraha, incarnation, bhutanam, of the living beings, kshemaya, for good, cha, and bhavaya, upliftment, and, sorry, cha, and, O Sutta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. Please repeat, O Sutta Goswami. We are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The conditions for hearing the transcendental message of the Absolute Truth are set forth herein. The first condition is that the audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. And the speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession from the recognized acharya. The transcendental message of the Absolute is not understandable by those who are materially absorbed. Under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. Therefore, one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. In the case of Sutta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya, all these conditions are fulfilled because Srila Sutta Goswami is in the line of Srila Vyasadeva. And the sages of Naimisharanya are all sincere souls who are anxious to learn the truth. Thus, the transcendental topics of Lord Sri Krishna's superhuman activities, his incarnation, his birth, appearance or disappearance, his forms, his names, and so on, are all easily understandable because all requirements are fulfilled. Such discourses help all men on the path of spiritual realization. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utapadagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dinabandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanusute, Devi, Pranamami Haripriye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tannasu Shrushamananam Arhasyanganu Varnitum, Yasyavataro Bhutanam Kshayamayacha Bhavayacha. O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and His incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. Following Sridhar Swami, most of the acharyas commenting on this verse have seen fit to describe two aspects, and Srila Prabhupada also follows suit, but it's very interesting exactly how he does so. Let's first of all, I think what I'm going to do is go backwards. First of all, Sridhar Swami says, Anga he sutta tanno anuvaranitam arhasi. Dear Anga, what does Anga mean? Limb? Anything else? Body? Anything else? Branch? Well, okay. What else? Vijayadwaj Tirtha, commenting on this verse, points out that Anga means Vatsa. Do we know what Vatsa means? Vatsa. A calf. So he says that Anga means Vatsa. He's calling him a calf. Why would he do that? Okay, these are very creative answers. Vatsa is very commonly used in Sanskrit as a term of endearment for a younger person. Therefore, when we feel compassionate and protective of someone junior to ourselves, that's called Vishrasa. Vatsalya. Vatsalya comes from Vatsa. Vatsa means a calf. The way that a mother cow feels for her calf, that's the way all elders should feel for the juniors. So, how old is Suta Goswami in this context? He's in an assembly of hundreds, maybe thousands of sages, and he's pretty much junior to all of them. So, therefore, they call him Anga. Anga he suta tanno anuvaranitam arhasi. However, even though you're younger than us, you deserve to explain to us the purpose for which the Lord comes to this world. That's one thing. We want to hear, why does the Lord come here? What is His purpose? And then, samanyatas tavad yasyavataro bhutanam kshemaya palanaya bhavaya samriddhaye. That means that ordinarily when the Lord incarnates, He does so for the welfare of the living beings and also for their flourishing. Well, we can say kshemaya. He Himself is glossing this term. It means palanaya. What does palana mean? Palan, to protect. Yes. And bhavaya means samriddhaye, to enrich, to make sure that everybody flourishes. So Jiva Goswami says the same thing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes an interesting point. He differs slightly from Sridhar Swami, which is interesting in itself. Sometimes the acharyas give slightly different interpretations of a given passage, but generally as a rule, they do not differ in terms of what is theologically essential. They differ in terms of details, so this would be a detail as well. He says, Kshemaya means mokshaya, for the liberation of the living entities, instead of their protection, for their liberation, because you can't really be protected in this world, can you? Everything is very tenuous here. It's understood from the very outset. Nalani dalagata jalamati taralam tatvajivitamatashaya chapalam. This one, life is even more tenuous than a drop of water on a lotus leaf. So that may be one reason why he says that. Otherwise, bhavaya he interprets to mean bhutye and sampattaye, which means to flourish. We've already described. He doesn't have any difference there. Now, he also points out the word yasya here. This is a correlative pronoun. Whenever we see a yasya, we want to find a tasya somewhere nearby, because they necessarily go together. Just like when we say he who, then we expect it's going to be followed up. Or when we say when, then there should be a then somewhere like this. You can't really have a correlative pronoun by itself. So he points out a very interesting fact, that this yasya, it doesn't have a corresponding pronoun until verse number 16. So for the next three verses, he says, yasyeti sarhais tribhihi. Three and a half verses, really. These are all the reasons, or all the reasons that they want to hear about why the Lord comes. Just without spoiling the plot, I'm going to jump ahead for one moment and just say these verses because they're auspicious. And the next one is a very famous one as well. Apanna samsritim ghoram yannama vivisho grinan tata sadyo vimucheta yad bibheti swayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Moreover, yat padasam shriyasuta muniyaha prashamayanaha sadhya punantyupasprashtaha svardhunyapunu sevaya. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Ko va bhagavatastasya punyashlokedya karmanaha shuddhikamo nishnuryat yashak kalimalapaham. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? So, as you've noticed, if you were listening carefully, Kova Bhagavatastasya. This tasya is the referent. So, all these things. This is the person we want to hear about. We want to know why he comes here. Because if you just chant his name even unconsciously, you're immediately freed from all the complications of the material world. Srila Prabhupada translates this word ghora. Ghora means actually more than complicated. It means terrifying, horrible, intense. Ghora. And even by taking shelter of those devotees of the Lord, those who have taken shelter of his lotus feet, we can become instantly sanctified, whereas the same effect we get only after a long, long time by bathing in the Ganges and doing other such things. So then he asks his rhetorical question, who is there who wants liberation, who's not willing to hear? And then finally he comes to the real point, the point which Srila Prabhupada dilates on in 90% of his purport. The same two points are made by Srila Prabhupada that have been made by Sridhar Swami and other predecessor acharyas. But Srila Prabhupada especially focuses on the conditions for proper hearing. Because the second half of this verse, yasyavataro bhutanam kshemaya cha bhavaya cha, which literally means that that avatar is meant for the general good and for the upliftment of all living beings. Srila Prabhupada has confined his comment on that point to the very last sentence of his purport. Quote, such discourses help all men on the path of spiritual realization, end quote. He doesn't really say a lot about it, but he says very much about what are the conditions for hearing. This is notable because those who study Srila Prabhupada's conversations and his classes and his lectures, they may have noticed that the one Bhagavad Gita verse that Srila Prabhupada spoke on more than any other is exactly. If you want to know about me, free from doubt, Arjuna, and full, asamshayam samagram, mam, yathajnyasasi tatshnu. As much as you're curious, jnasasi, just listen, just hear. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says here, what is the result of being curious about the Supreme Lord? What is the result of wanting to hear? Jignasaya kim phalam iti ched. Shrutva atmanam kritarthi krishyamaha. We will all become completely perfect. Ourselves will become completely fulfilled when we hear about his transcendental activities. Krishna says as much as well in chapter 4. Anybody know the verse I'm thinking? Very famous verse. Janma karnamacha me divyam evam yoveti tatvata. If you hear about this tatvataha, in fact, then what happens? Next half? Huh? Yes, he doesn't have to come back here to this material world. Instead, he comes to me. He comes to me. So this is very important. That is the result. And then he also asks, Kim puna sa ityartha. The idea here is that what could be more valuable than hearing about Krishna? So, let's see what Srila Prabhupada says. First thing, the conditions for hearing about the transcendental message of the Absolute Truth are set forth herein. Right off the bat, we hear about conditions for becoming Krishna conscious. Sometimes we hear that it's unconditional, but here the conditions are being introduced. So the first condition, this audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. Quite some time ago, I remember Bhrigupati Prabhu gave a class here in which he reminded us that there are two adjectives that you'll find again and again repeated throughout Srila Prabhupada's personal instructions to his disciples, that a devotee must be, one, very sincere, and two, very serious. So that's what's being mentioned here. You must be very sincere and eager to hear. Utsuka, outsuka, they say in Sanskrit. Or the more common term is jignyasu. Here shushrusha, shushushu is another noun that is used. Shushrusha means, literally, intensely desiring to hear something. Intensely desiring to hear. But, as we've seen Srila Prabhupada translated elsewhere, for example, right in the very next chapter, which is one of the most prominent chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, shushrusho, one who is engaged in hearing, shradhatanasya, with care and attention. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada has translated shushrusho as someone who wants to serve and someone who wants to hear. Why does he give two definitions? Because hearing means acting. If we're really hearing, then we'll do something. This is the point. Srila Prabhupada says, therefore he translates shushrushamananam in this verse as those who are endeavoring. It has nothing to do with wanting to hear intensely, at least not explicitly. The point is this. There are many, many words like this in Sanskrit. They do not have an adequate English translation in one word. But it is to be understood that these are not two definitions. These are one definition. That is what shushushu means. You're intensely desiring to serve, and you're intensely desiring to hear, because the two are considered to be synonymous. That's a very important concept to get. So, if the speaker says, please bring me a glass of water, and we very scrupulously take notes on that, maybe even we videotape it, we remember his exact verbiage, everything, we know exactly about it, but we don't ever do it, then that's not really hearing. Therefore, Prabhupada said, hearing that stops when the speaker stops is not really hearing. We have to apply. That's the point. So that's the first condition. If we're very eager to hear, then we will be very eager to apply what we hear as well. Then the second thing he says, he doesn't list it as such, but it's clear. The speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession from the recognized acharya. Recognized acharya. Not just a nobody acharya. A recognized acharya. There are four sampradayas. They come from the goddess Lakshmi, from Lord Brahma, they come from Lord Shiva, and from the four Kumaras. Nowadays, those sampradayas are represented by Ramanujacharya and by Madhvacharya and his followers, including our sampradaya, and also by Nimbarka Acharya, and also by Vishnu Swami. So, somebody who's not in one of these bona fide paramparas really needs to work on becoming sushrushu, learning something. Boy, there are too many people in this world who are too eager to speak before they're very eager to hear, and that doesn't work. Generally, you find, for example, Ritviks. Ritviks, invariably, in my experience, they're always more eager to speak than they are to hear. So that's just my personal experience, but this is the general principle. The world is lacking people who are serious about hearing. And it's not surprising because they get burnt out by people who haven't heard but who want to speak instead and who don't represent an authorized sampradaya. Here it stayed. Srila Prabhupada has translated. Anuvarnitum. This is an infinitive verb that means to describe, but to explain, rather by following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That's the prefix anu means that, just like we talk about anuvada, right? Ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat, ityadi. So anuvarnitam means to repeat something. Anuvada, we say in Sanskrit, the word for translation, isn't actually translation. Just as you have Sanskrit words that don't translate into English, similarly you have English words that do not translate into Sanskrit. One of those is translation. But in Sanskrit, translation really only means retelling. Anuvada. To say the same thing over again. So, here he's being asked to anuvarnitam, please describe this to us. And describe it by following in the footsteps of the predecessor acharyas. It's not that because 30 years have passed or 40 years have passed since the acharya departed that we need to change everything. It's not necessary. Because if you have studied something of history, especially Vaishnava history, and if you've studied something of the acharya's commentaries on the Shastras, then you'll notice that virtually there's no change ever. Almost, I would guess, maybe 85% to 90% of the time, the acharya's commentaries merely paraphrase what was gone before. For example, let me give you a very tangible example here. Sridhar Swami says on this verse, Samanyatas tavat yasyavataro bhutanam kshemaya. And Jiva Goswami says, Samanyatas tavat yasyavatara matram kshemaya. Basically, it's the same thing. Very close paraphrase. So, and similarly, Srila Prabhupada's purports, usually they very closely paraphrase those of his predecessors. That is called anuvarnitam. You cannot invent things. And Arhasi, you're the one who deserves to do this. That brings us to the point that a speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession. The transcendental message, this is the next thing Srila Prabhupada explains here, the transcendental message of the Absolute is not understandable by those who are materially absorbed. So this should this should induce some degree of humility, that we need to hear something. If we've noticed that we have any degree of material absorption, then we need to work on this. We need to hear very carefully so that we can dissolve the material attachments that prevent us from understanding the Absolute Truth, because the Absolute Truth is not understandable by such persons. But under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. Gradually means that we also have to be very patient. What is Rupa Goswami's advice in Upadeshamritam about this? Utsahan nishayad dhairyat tattat karma parartanat sangatyagat satovritte. That means, respectively, you have to be enthusiastic, but at the same time that you're enthusiastic, you have to have full confidence in what you're doing, because otherwise how can you remain enthusiastic? And at the same time that you're confident as well as enthused, you have to be patient, because it may take some time. So it's very, very difficult to maintain enthusiasm and conviction and patience all at the same time. Especially we live in such a passionate push-button culture in which you can have anything at the push of a button. So it's, and these kids, especially nowadays, who are raised on a steady drip feed of video games and computers and things and cell phone nonsense, and it's very hard for them to sit and concentrate and hear something with patience. So that's a discipline. And Srila Prabhupada says one has to learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. And by so doing, one becomes gradually purified. That's called tat-tat karnama parvartanat, following each and everything. Following each thing. And how do we follow each and everything? Sangatyagat, after having given up the bad association, because there's no point in injecting the medicine in one arm and injecting the poison in the other arm. It would create mayhem. Then finally, satovritte. What helps us to do this? Satovritte. What does that mean? Sorry? Okay, not exactly associating. Srila Prabhupada has translated this in at least two ways that I've seen. In his Nectar of Instruction, he translates it as following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, which is what we hear very strongly in today's verse, as Prabhupada has translated on Avarnatham. But elsewhere, he translates it as leading a clean life, leading a pure existence, making sure that your occupation doesn't degrade you further than it does already. That's a very important way to look at it as well. That's very closely related to Srila Prabhupada's instructions about varnashram dharma, because varnashram dharma means what you do to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in this world. And there are certain ways to eat, sleep, and mate, and defend, and that will degrade you, and there are certain ways that will elevate you. And these have been taught by our acharyas for the last 100 years, as a matter of fact. They've emphasized this need, especially in the modern day and age. Srila Prabhupada did likewise. So, satovritte implies all of that. So these are Rupa Goswami's advice for becoming gradually purified. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada continues in the next sentence, one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. To hear submissively. In a challenging mood, we cannot learn anything. And even in a complacent mood in which we assume that we already know everything, that doesn't help either. That's called sophomoric. Sometimes when kids go to school, by their second year of college, they think that they know everything. So this is a problem. We find some hint of this, actually, in the Upanishads as well. In the, where is it? Kena Upanishad, I think. Anyway. Don't want to dilate on that. But in the case of Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya, Srila Prabhupada writes, all these conditions are fulfilled because Srila Suta Goswami is in the line of Srila Vyasadeva, and the sages of Naimisharanya are all sincere souls who are anxious to learn the truth. You have to be anxious to learn. Thus, the transcendental topics of Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna's superhuman activities, his incarnation, his birth, appearance or disappearance, forms, names, and so on, are all easily understandable because all requirements are fulfilled. So that deals with the main force of Srila Prabhupada's emphasis here. This is a new thing that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, because people in this age are very interested, not so interested in hearing, they're more interested in talking. Okay, so we've already mentioned that the next several verses, they also connect to this idea. They're all explaining why they want to hear or why Suta Goswami should explain. And then finally, kshemaya cha bhavaya cha. What do these terms mean? Kshema, we've heard this in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna's promises. Yoga kshemam vahami. I will supply what to you? Your security, I will safeguard you, I will cover for you. These are all colloquial ways of saying that I will keep you taken care of. That is all implied by the word kshema. And bhava, as we said, it means sampatti, enrichment, flourishing. You will flourish as well. So this is what happens when the Lord comes. Tavat. Tavat yasya avatara. When the Lord comes, all these things are affected. And this is something we hear later on in chapter 8. Is it? Or 9? Kunti Devi Stava? Chapter 8. Yeah, so she says, as long as your footprints are marking this kingdom, the kingdom is flourishing in all respects. So this is direct evidence of that. Okay, I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or any comments on any of this, we can discuss. Yes. Sachi Tanoi Prabhu.
Thank you, Mukundadatta Prabhu. It called my attention that I have like a comment and a question. Qualified speaker, qualified hearer, and also traditionally younger, speakers, if there are senior speakers, they are assigned to speak. Unless, like in the case of Suta Goswami or Sukadeva Goswami. Now, an observation that I have is that I heard a pastime by Malatin, which one time Srila Prabhupada was in a program and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. I think it was a sannyasi already. She had a baby holding in her arms, and Prabhupada says, "You speak." And she felt like like uncomfortable when, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there. Now my question is, the acharya, the guru, can qualify the speaker. Can you comment on that? Because, you know, at that time, if you can see how much that she could speak, as far, you know, she just recently came, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, I don't know. And then not only, but in India, where they're not used to see women, you know, like going forward and speak in deep subject matters.
She's holding a baby in her arms.
And she's holding her baby to the sannyasi. So what can you speak about that? Can you expand?
I'm not so familiar with the context, so I'm hesitant to make any comment on it. I mean, in general, you know, if the guru gives an order, we follow without questioning.
So I guess that's what I was trying to figure out, that it looks like the acharya has the license to qualify someone in amazing.
However, we do have the obligation to justify what our acharya has done. So in that sense, you know, maybe we can say we do need to wonder about this. But only if it's only necessary if someone challenges. And that's also, it's our responsibility to defend our spiritual master's decisions. But it's hard to understand the mind of the Acharya. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada.